VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. You know, the numbers are hard to fathom. But it's being reported that since the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision in 1973, there have been over 63.7 million abortions. More than 63.7 million abortions. Those who received a death sentence for the very simple fact that they existed. I mean, we cannot forget what God told Jeremiah, as recorded in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And yet, in defiance against our Creator, seven of the nine sitting justices on the Supreme Court in 1973 invented a right to take the life of another innocent human being without a penalty. But friends, the tide is turning in our nation, and very soon we're awaiting another decision by the U.S. Supreme Court that could undo the wrong that's been going on for nearly 50 years. Joining us today, we welcome back Brad Mattis, the president of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is the host of the Life Issues Daily Radio Commentary, has produced a new radio special called The Faces of Roe. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jim. It's always a pleasure to join you.
You know, it's just really hard to fathom our nation, just over 332 million is our population right now, has put to death nearly 64 million of its citizens since 1973. That's close to 20% of our current population just wiped out.
Yes, and, you know, it's hard for the average American to get their brains wrapped around that. But someone came out with this statistics very recently that helps. We have killed more unborn babies in America than the entire population of Italy.
Wow.
So we have wiped out the equivalent of an entire nation.
You know, I was just looking at worldometers within the hour before our interview here, Brad, and the truth is it's not COVID, it's not heart disease, it's not cancer or communicable diseases, not drug overdose deaths, but the leading cause of death worldwide is abortion, killing 73 million people every year. This year alone, if you took all the deaths of those who have died from HIV/AIDS, those who have died of cancer or malaria, those who have deaths by smoking, or by alcohol, by communicable diseases, and all road accident fatalities, you add them all together here in this year of 2022, today, that combined number is smaller than the number of babies killed in the womb, and this is just plain wrong.
Yes, it is, and that's why what's happening in America right now, Jim, is so vitally important, because I serve as a volunteer position of president of the International Rights Life Federation, and I do a fair amount of travel. And when I speak in other nations, they frequently come up to me in a begging sort of tone of voice saying, please end abortion in America, because if you do, we can end it here.
Wow.
Sadly, abortion is our most deadly export, and we really need to rectify that, so that we can encourage other countries to protect their unborn.
So, Brad, let's travel back to 1973, the Roe v. Wade decision. There are many who believe that this only allowed for abortion in the very early stages of life, only in special circumstances if a woman's life was in danger. But that's not the case, is it?
Oh, it's not. And you know why everybody, or a lot of people, think that it was only legal in the first 3 months? Is because the media repeated that lie, knowing it wasn't true, for many years. Now, the Supreme Court ruling of Roe v. Wade had a companion case, Doe v. Bolton, that was decided on the same day. Those two worked as a team to make sure that abortion was legal throughout pregnancy. In Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, they expressly state, Roe says health of the mother. Doe defined what health of the mother was, and it was financial health, mental health, family health, anything which literally they interpreted as for any reason, for any time in pregnancy.
Wow, wow. Two landmark decisions that were made at that time that have totally turned this nation on its upside down, actually, Brad. And just before we talk about what happened this past year here in a new case before the Supreme Court, I often think, with abortion being this leading cause of death in our nation, even around the world, what would our landscape look like today if our governmental leaders and the fair courts responded to the abortion atrocity as they did to COVID?
Yes, wouldn't that be nice and refreshing? But just imagine all of the generations that we've aborted already.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine who had an abortion when she was young, we're about the same age, she says, well, not only did I abort my daughter, but now my grandchildren have been aborted also.
Wow.
So as those her friends are celebrating that we're having grandchildren, she has a double dose of grief and shame that she aborted her daughter, which included her grandchildren.
Well, Brad, it was this last December 1st, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments concerning what was called the biggest abortion case since Roe v. Wade. It's called Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. You were with us here on Crosstalk just 2 days before the oral arguments took place, and we're getting closer to the time of the court's decision being released publicly. But if you would just reacquaint our listeners with this case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization.
Sure, Jim. It was legislation passed in Mississippi by a bipartisan fashion, a good majority, that would end abortion once the unborn baby reached the age of 15 weeks in the womb. This, of course, directly conflicts with the Casey decision and the Roe decision, and an appellate court shot it down as unconstitutional. Well, the Supreme Court decided to hear the case, which was a clear indication they had something else to say about this law.
Mm-hmm.
And as we listened to the oral arguments December 1st, we became pretty confident that we're going to see the court uphold this law. And we're also optimistic, cautiously optimistic, that they may use this to overturn Roe.
Well, what do you base that optimism on?
Based upon, for instance, one of the new justices, not Gorsuch.
Kavanaugh?
But maybe it was Kavanaugh. That's it. Thank you. He came prepared to the oral arguments, and he had a list, Jim, of major Supreme Court decisions that had been reversed. And he made the point, without saying it, that sometimes that needs to be done because it's such an egregious decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard comments from Gorsuch, and we heard comments from
Amy Coney Barrett.
Barrett, yes. Sorry, I'm getting names all mixed up. But Barrett, they were all encouraging. So we think we would have a majority even without the Chief Justice, which has been really squirrely on the abortion issue in the past few years. But we think that he would probably join the majority so that he could assign whoever writes the majority opinion and have some input. I don't think he'd want to be on the wrong side of history. So we think that it probably would be a 6-3 decision supporting the legislation.
Well, friends, okay, so supporting the ban after 16 weeks, but they can actually take this a step further, can they not?
Oh, yes, they can do whatever they want, and they can use this opportunity, which we are, I say, cautiously optimistic, prayerfully optimistic, that they will use this to reverse Roe. And that's why, for instance, what Kavanaugh said was very encouraging, that they're coming to the bench with the idea, if a decision is not just, is not following the Constitution, which Roe certainly did not,
right,
they fabricated the right to abortion in the Constitution. So we think that we are going to see light and grace shine on our country once again, perhaps with the reversal of Roe.
And Roe v. Wade was really based upon a lie. I mean, you know Norma McCorvey the one that was utilized and used to bring about the Supreme Court decision.
Oh, yes. And it was based on lies. She said that she had been raped, and she had not. Later, she said she didn't even want an abortion. And, you know, critics on both sides of the political spectrum have decried this decision as it not being based upon the Constitution. Our most recent justice that died, I'm blocking out on all the names of the Supreme Court justices today, died and Barrett replaced. She was a harsh critic of Roe because it cut off discussion, and in her opinion, that needed to take place, and that discussion needed to be extended through state legislatures.
Great. I believe you're referring to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yes, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she was admitted pro-abortion activist working for the ACLU, but she said that was a bad decision.
Yeah. Well, Brad Mattis with us here today from the Life Issues Institute. And Brad, there are those who believe that if the court overturns Roe v. Wade, that they believe this is going to end all abortion in our country. But that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And I'm really glad you brought that up, Jim, because some people do think that's the case. What reversing Roe would do is simply take us back to the point, the legal status prior to 1973 when states had the authority to govern abortion and put restrictions on it to however they see fit. And if Roe is overturned, we think that there will be about 21 states that will revert back to a status of protecting their unborn children. That meaning that there was a law on the books previous to 1973, or that they passed trigger laws that would go into effect should Roe v. Wade be overturned. Mm-hmm. And then there's an additional 9 states that we think with some work, lobbying, and efforts, we could also make substantial gains. So we believe that there are about 30 states where we could considerably, substantially, significantly protect the lives of unborn babies.
Now, at the same time, while we await this decision from the court, there's been another matter that they've heard, and that's dealing with the Texas heartbeat law that would stop abortions after a detectable heartbeat. And, Brad, I find it very interesting that the court has stayed silent on this issue through all this time.
Yes, you know, and I have a theory. It's just a personal opinion. But I wonder if the Supreme Court is letting this fit take effect just to show the country that the sky will not fall if abortion is not allowed throughout pregnancy for any reason.
Mm.
And should they reverse Roe, well, then it kind of becomes a moot point. Texas will probably move to protect more children than just the heartbeat law would protect.
Right. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. We're talking about the pending Supreme Court decision on abortion and also the faces of Roe. We'll be getting into that further here into our next segment with Brad Mattis, who is the president of Life Issues Institute. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, just how intelligent were the Neanderthal people?
Chris, the Neanderthals were people just like me and you. They were descendants of at least one of the tribes that migrated away from the Tower of Babel. Perhaps they lived in harsh conditions, but they were fully human. Archaeologists have even found that they had musical instruments, using the hollowed-out bones of animals perforated with holes like a flute. When replicas of these are made, it's found that they used the same musical scale that we use today. Mostly they preferred minor keys. Of course, even the Israelites are known for their songs in minor keys, producing beautiful but haunting melodies. You see, Chris, even the Neanderthals go back to Genesis, and so should we.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Brad Mattis, the president of Life Issues Institute, and we're talking about the pending Supreme Court decision on abortion, and also talking about a special that is coming up on many stations across this country this weekend, produced by Life Issues Institute, entitled The Faces of Roe. More on that in just a moment. But, Brad, as we mentioned, the court could just deal with the Mississippi law, but it is very likely that they might also do something as it returns to Roe v. Wade, that there seems to be a sentiment on the part of this court, a majority part of the court, to undo Roe. And as a result, we're seeing this very fierce battle that's taking place on the state level in states all across the nation. But I just want to begin by how overjoyed I was just earlier this week after the Kentucky legislature overrode their governor, Andy Beshear, to stop abortions after 15 weeks. Now, I don't want to see abortion at any stage, but the net result, the two remaining abortion clinics shut their doors in Kentucky.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Now, we don't know for how long. Right. We're monitoring the situation very carefully. They are appealing the decision, but it is a new day in Dodge when we talk about abortion laws, because right now Kentucky is abortion-free, mm-hmm. And that is something we praise God for, certainly.
Yeah. And I know in a number of states they've taken legislative action to protect life in the event that Roe v. Wade is overturned.
Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma was the most recent state just ending all abortion except those to save the life of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So huge victories that are kind of quietly happening under the radar as far as the liberal media is concerned.
You're right. And at the same time, there are other states that are cementing in their statutes the ability to keep the baby-killing industry thriving in their state, and so that we have those that are taking action for, really, these executions to continue in their state, wanting to be vacation destinations.
That's right, and they go beyond just killing unborn babies, Jim. These states like Colorado, California, and others are putting in some innocuous wording that refers to action or inaction that they could not be prosecuted for. Well, what that means is when babies survive late-term abortions, their inaction is not to give them any medical basic care, which federal law calls for. So quietly, these states that are abortion bastions of extremity on abortion are including infanticide that could mean up to 4 weeks or 6 weeks, because the wording there is so loose as far as legalities that, yes, we could be talking about killing babies after birth.
Yeah.
And that is truly sad.
It really is sad. And it's like, how can we do this in our so-called civilized nation? And we see, and I believe it's the state of Maryland, Brad, that's talking about opening up the doors of training for non-doctors to perform the abortions themselves, and to offer monies for training purposes to get more people that are allowed to take the life of the innocent.
Oh yes, and California is leading the way on these extreme aspects. They are offering to pay for the school loans of physicians who will become abortionists. They are offering to extend liability insurance and coverage to protect them or prevent anybody from suing them if it's abortion-related.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really extreme, some of the things that we're seeing pass in these states.
Well, the other aspect to this as well is the panicking that's being observant of Planned Parenthood. And I was on their site also just shortly before coming on the air here, and here's some of their headlines. Roe v. Wade at risk. Nationwide legal abortion may be a thing of the past. Here's another. I mean, this is large, bold print. This is not a drill. Abortion access is being dismantled. I mean, there is great concern in the halls of Planned Parenthood, who are receiving record funding from the Biden administration, but they're very concerned and looking at the downfall of Roe.
Oh, yeah, they should be frightened, because they have every reason to be. Part of what's motivating that, too, is fundraising. But, yes, access to abortion is crumbling Roe has lived on borrowed time for some time, and with our pro-life president, Donald Trump, that was instrumental in getting enough justices on the Supreme Court to make such a bold ruling that could undo all of this American Holocaust.
And speaking of the Holocaust, not far from the steps of the Supreme Court building, Brad, just uncovered recently were the bodies of aborted babies recovered in Washington, D.C., some that appear to have been victimized by late-term abortions, and really a battle going on to find cause of death and so forth in this situation. But what a tragic scenario that's unfolding.
Yes, I was one of the pro-life leaders that held a rally in front of the medical examiner's office in Washington, D.C. They found a box. Actually, they were sidewalk counseling in front of the abortion, late-term abortion facility in D.C. They came, the service came to pick up boxes of what they call medical waste. As we know, babies' bodies are in there. The sidewalk counselors asked the young man if they could have one, and he let them have it. And inside, they found 115 babies' bodies.
Oh, my.
Five of which were very late-term abortions. They named them all. In one case, Harriet bore the excruciating wounds to indicate partial birth abortion, which is illegal to do. So we asked for an investigation and independent autopsies be done on these children to determine if federal law had been broken. The D.C. police were quick to say that no law had been broken, and the medical examiner said that they had no plans to do a autopsies on the babies. Senators and congressmen, 69 of them, signed a letter demanding that be done.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to keep the pressure on them. What is happening is absolutely appalling. And if that had been done outside of a facility on pets, we would see an absolute outcry for that to cease and desist.
So where can people apply pressure?
Well, they can apply pressure and contact the medical examiner's office in D.C. I don't have that information at hand, but mm-hmm. You can certainly find it on the Internet and demand that justice be done, that an investigation begin, and that independent autopsies be done to determine if laws have been broken. It's really very simple, and they don't want to do that because I think they're covering up. They know that laws have been broken, and they don't want anything to reflect poorly on the abortion industry in Washington, D.C.
We're going to ask if our producer can get that phone number. Again, the medical examiner's office in Washington, D.C., that we can pass that on here to you, the listeners, because this is absolutely horrendous what is going on in D.C. And, again, this is not far from the steps of the United States Capitol, the Capitol and Supreme Court, whereby we're going to be hearing this decision coming forth soon from the Supreme Court as it relates to the Dobbs case. Brad, as we take a look at this, one of the criticisms that come from those that are pro-abortion said that pro-lifers don't care. These women are going to be left. They're going to be abandoned to themselves. Is the pro-life community ready to come alongside and help women should Roe be overturned?
You better believe it. And we have proof that more and more have done it already. And in that radio special that you alluded to that airs this weekend, Jim, one of my guests was Chaney Gooley, and she is a key individual working with an organization called Her Plan. And what they are doing, Jim, is developing a safety net state by state that is very comprehensive. I mean, we're talking about support through pregnancy, through birth, and well after birth, usually to 2 years. And that covers all kinds of things, legal expenses, housing, education, mentoring, all sorts of things that a woman and her unborn baby would need when facing an unexpected pregnancy. And this is just one example that we're highlighting in this special. There are pro-life pregnancy centers across the country that have begun to incorporate assistance for men and women who are facing an unexpected pregnancy. So it is a lie for any pro-abortion person to say that women will be abandoned. We are coming alongside these women, and we are assisting them, not only with that, but also with counseling and support for those who have chosen abortion and are struggling to deal with that decision.
Brad Mattis here with us from the Life Issues Institute. I'm going to just put a little parenthesis into our discussion right now because we do have that phone number for the Washington, D.C. Medical Examiner's Office. And here is a number. It is 202-698-9000. 202-698-9000. And, Brad, if you were on the line with them right now, what would you be saying to them?
Well, I would say I'd be very polite but very firm in referencing the five children's bodies that they are holding in their building, and that they need to begin an earnest investigation and independent autopsies on those babies to determine if any federal laws had been broken in the process of killing those children. And we need to demand that, be forceful, but be, of course, Christ-like in that process. But we just need to apply the pressure. And if they get a lot of calls, they will know that that pressure is not going away. So do not underestimate the value of that call that you would make.
Yeah, and friends, keep in mind, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox, they're not going to be giving you this phone number. They're not going to be giving that to you and telling you about these aborted babies, found and what's going on here, and the pressure for this independent autopsy to be conducted and the independent investigation. Again, it's 202-698-9000. That's to the Washington, D.C. Medical Examiner's Office, 202-698-9000. Brad Mattis with us here today. And, Brad, we're talking about the Faces of Roe. This is a radio special that you're releasing on numerous stations across the country here this weekend. And this is something that we think sometimes of the baby, and rightly so. The baby's lives have been taken. But there are many, many people who are alive today that are suffering from regret. They feel like they have been lied to and were lied to walk them down this path of taking the lives of their children.
Absolutely so. And what we want to do by this special is focus on the Dobbs decision, the importance of it, and how it's relevant to today's life. And in this special, Faces of Roe, Women and Men Victimized by Abortion, I interview a man and a woman who both lost children to late-term abortion. And I'll tell you, it's appropriate for family radio, but it is very dramatic, very riveting what they say and the issues. Irene said the biggest lie she has ever been told was when the abortionist bent down and said, "Oh, don't worry about this. This is nothing, and it'll all be over before you know it."
Wow.
She said it was the biggest lie ever told her. And the grief that they experienced, they know they're forgiven by the blood of the cross, but mm-hmm. It is something that they will take to their grave.
Brad Mattis with us here today on Crosstalk. And friends, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a little bit more discussion here, and then we'll be opening phone lines for you to offer your questions here to our guests today, your comments on the issue. This is Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America.
Did you know astronomers Copernicus, Galileo, Kepler, and others made profound statements of faith? Did you know Samuel F.B. Morse, inventor of the telegraph and Morse code, said, "The only gleam of hope, and I cannot underrate it, is from confidence in God." These and many more such quotes and stories can be found in the book, Miraculous Milestones. In this book, Bill Federer examines the faith of those who achieved significant milestones in science, medicine, and innovation. You'll learn how the church pioneered hospitals and medical care for the poor because of the belief in the sanctity of human life. You'll read about Dr. Benjamin Rush, Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Louis Pasteur, and others. Miraculous Milestones is available for a donation of $19 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Brad Mattis from the Life Issues Institute, and talking about the forthcoming decision from the court as it relates to a decision that's pending on the Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, and potentially has the ability, or they do have the ability, to overturn Roe v. Wade as well. Brad and Life Issues Institute have just put together the Faces of Roe, as this is a radio special airing on stations all across the country here this coming weekend. And you can, those of you who are listening to stations right now that are owned and operated by VCY America, this is going to be carried network-wide this coming Friday at 12 noon Central Time, right through the lunch hour, and then a repeat broadcast on Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time. That's here on VCY America. So Friday at noon Central, Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time. And if you're listening to a station right now that is not owned by VCY America, you can certainly contact your station to find out if this is something that they're going to be carrying through the auspices of their radio broadcast. Brad, this is certainly men, women and men that have been victimized by abortion. What message are you giving to men and women who have chosen abortion in the past but now are suffering from regret?
Well, one of the key things we want them to know is that they're not alone and that there are people that love them and want to walk them through the grief and the shame that comes with abortion. And first and foremost, we let them know, of course, that the blood of Christ covers every sin, including the sin of abortion. You know, contrary to popular belief, the tomb is not empty that Christ walked out of. He put all of our sins in there and left them in there. Mm. And that is sins for all time. So the sin of abortion is in that tomb also, far away, and the price has been paid. Forgiveness is granted to the repentant soul. So if you have been marred by abortion, injured, struggle with the emotional impact, or someone you know, please contact us at facesofroe.com, facesofroe.com, and we will make sure to get you together with a free counselor who can walk you through that process. There is hope and there's healing after this. Things may seem so very hopeless at the moment, but, you know, Christ to Christ, we can do everything. And when Christ is in the mix through this healing, you can come out a new person.
Brad, give us that website one more time that our listeners can have access to.
Facesofroe.com.
Okay.
Facesofroe.com.
Great. Facesofroe.com. And also you'll find information at lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. But the website, the Faces of Roe, facesofroe.com, you'll find there a link to the program on a station near you, and you can also click to listen to the full program if you're not going to be near your radio when your station is playing the broadcast there itself. But, Brad, one other aspect, and friends, as you are listening today, let's open our phone lines where you can ask Brad a question, or if you have a comment on something he said here, a comment on this abortion industry here across our land. Our number is 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. But so often, Brad, we have individuals listening in all different walks of life, and the question that so many have is, what can I do? How can I make a difference?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because at our website landing page, facesofroe.com, we make an opportunity for people to stand with women and their babies and to sign a petition, if you will, of that visible support, which we will then use to lobby and advance the cause of life, knowing that you are with us. And as a thank you gift for those who sign up, we want to give you a free feet pin of identical in size and shape to a 10-week-old unborn baby. There is also a really good, valuable resource. It's a downloadable printed resource that lists the top 10 ways in which you can help. Praying is, of course, the top of that list, but there are additional ways that you can get involved. You can find a pro-life center near you to donate clothing and items, donate your time. It's important that you know who your pro-life candidates are on every level of government, including city council, because now we're going to see all kinds of legislation and opportunities to protect babies in the cities, in states, and, of course, in Congress.
Again, folks. Go ahead.
And then, in addition, if that's 10 isn't enough, we have a link where you can get a list of about 38 or so. So there are so many ways that you can get involved and help unborn babies and their parents.
So, friends, again, that's facesofroe.com, facesofroe.com. And as you scroll down, you're going to see those precious feet of a 10-week-old baby, and you can click on that to order your free feet pin. And even wearing that on a lapel, Brad, is something that prompts questions from individuals.
Oh, absolutely. I wear them a lot. And it's, if they know what it means, it's a reminder to people that somebody is with them. They're not alone. I always like telling the story of my colleague, Dr. Wilkie, who, when he would commute to Washington frequently, he would always wear his pin. And as he was going through security, a young TSA woman asked him about that, and he described what they were. He took them off and gave them to her so she could put it on her uniform. And we found out later that she was pregnant, actually had an appointment for an abortion, and that little pin saved a life.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, friends, we're going to go to the phone calls here, the phone lines. Our number, we still have some open lines, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your reaction, I mean, we have committed the atrocity of over 63 million abortions in this land. Is it time, folks? Do you agree it's time to see this overturned here across our nation? Your comments, your questions here today for Brad. And also, perhaps you're listening right now and are going through the trauma or the regret of having an abortion. Your calls are also welcome today here on the broadcast at 800-733-9829. Let's begin with Zach calling in from River Falls, Wisconsin. Zach, you're on the air.
Hi. So my question is, what should a Christian person's response be to someone who says, well, we can't talk about these sensitive issues such as gay marriage and abortion because there's the separation of church and state?
Are you saying that from a church level? They're hearing that in the church? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead, Brad.
Well, that separation of church and state statement has gone far more than it was intended to go. And to those pastors who may not want to discuss the abortion issue, I tell them, if you talk about other issues, alcoholism, divorce, gambling problems, but you never mention abortion, the people in the pews are taking that to mean that there is no redemption, there's no forgiveness because I've killed my unborn child. They can't imagine any sin more vile, and many of them feel that God hates them and that they're beyond redemption. And when abortion is not brought up and people sitting in those pews aren't assured that there is forgiveness through the blood of Christ, that is where they will be left with absolutely left destitute, thinking that there is no way that they can be redeemed. So this is a ministry that churches need to be involved with. It's not political. It's ministry.
And indeed, Zach, also, I mean, those words separation of church and state, they don't appear in the Constitution. That's man-created. It's not in the Constitution itself of the United States. And the church has an obligation, a duty from God who has commanded to preach the word. And if a pastor will preach the word of God, go to Jeremiah 1:5. What does that have to say? Go to Psalm 139. What does that say? Go to Genesis chapter 1, where God is the author of life, and preach on that. And you're going to come away with a pro-life perspective in doing so. If a pastor just does that which God has called him to do, to proclaim the word of God. And we've got to get back to that here, Zach, and that the whole notion of separation of church and state, A, it doesn't exist in the Constitution, but B, the intent even behind those that were purporting this is to keep the state out of the church, not the church out of the state. This is a moral, biblical issue, and it must be addressed. Thank you, Zach, for the call. Joanne from Greendale, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm all pro-life and anti-abortion, but you rarely hear anything about abstinence. Mm-hmm. By the time we get to abortion, the horse has left the barn already, and we need more pastors and churches and political people to talk about abstinence. We wouldn't have this problem if people would go back to the Bible, go back to Jesus, and practice abstinence.
Thank you, Joanne. That's another great point. And, Brad, I know that our schools, many schools across this country, have been infiltrated by the likes of Planned Parenthood coming into the schools to teach and actually are promoting sexual promiscuity even within the classrooms.
And Planned Parenthood promotes promiscuity because they make money from the results, the STD testing, the contraception, the abortion services. They all have a vested interest in making sure that students participate in promiscuity because it generates income for them. Yes, I think it's important to always stress abstinence, and oftentimes people underestimate how effective that can be. I look back to my own high school days, and I vividly remembering my mother telling me how her heart would be broken if I were to get a girl pregnant. And that stuck with me. That particular conversation, as brief as it was, mm-hmm. had a lasting impact that helped me remain abstinent.
And parents, are you communicating these values to your children? Are you opening up scripture and talk about God's plan, God's design in all of this? And that's important on a parent-to-child level. Church isn't taking a stand on this issue. Friends, we've been silent too long, and Brad, it's time we do speak up on this. I mean, we're talking about 63.7 million children that are not with us today.
And we're talking about the carnage that is left behind the dead baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unspeakable that we can't fathom the wound that has been inflicted by Satan on our nation because of abortion.
FacesOfRoe.com, the website. Let's go to South Dakota. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a retired farmer, so I've been exposed. I had cattle, I had hogs, I had sheep, and even in the animal world, there's not one animal the mother wouldn't sacrifice her life to save her baby. So my comment is the animal world has more morals than the humans. I'm sorry to say that, but that's how I feel.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Robert. And, Brad, sadly, even from courts, we're seeing, you know, given special rights to animals that humans don't even have here today as far as protection. I think of, you know, the eggs of a bird that's about to be extinct or something, and great penalties if you would disrupt that.
That's exactly right. And recently, states have moved to give the Great Lakes rights to flourish. And they're ignoring the plight of unborn babies.
Yeah.
And I would not apologize, sir, for making that analogy between animals taking care of their young. That's something that we often need to point out.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back to more of your phone calls. Brad Mattis with us from Life Issues Institute, their website, FacesOfRoe.com. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This week, millions of Americans will pay taxes. But think about this. Is it really taxes, or at this point, is it outright theft by the federal government? Why do I say that? Because the government, through a progressive income tax, is punishing those who work hard, who save, who invest, who take risks, while the government turns around and seeks to unfreeze billions of dollars to the Iranian government that has vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, a religious system that declares the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book, the enemy. We see that now our government is allowing and encouraging and flying in illegals from all over the world into the U.S. And now they're going to lift Title 42 for perhaps as many as 18,000 to 20,000 a day or more to come in, all tax-free, getting free benefits, while they steal from us to give to them. That's socialism.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. And again, folks, you can check with your local station as to their airing of Faces of Row if it's on their schedule. Here at VCY America, we are airing at this Friday at noon Central Time and Saturday at 6 p.m. Central to help get the message out for Life Issues Institute. And Brad Mattis, its president, with us here today. Right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Merle in Tennessee. Hi, Merle. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. I can't help but believe that Barrett and Kavanaugh are trading votes with the left. They're giving them a couple victories siding with them, but they're waiting on the big one, and they will vote the right way. I think right now they're just trading some votes with them. The other thing is I believe that we need to address the unborn as the unborn community. The LGBTQ uses that word, puts a new face on things, the unborn community. Mm. We've got doctors, lawyers, mothers, fathers, policemen, presidents that are unborn. It's the unborn community, and just start addressing them as that in press releases, news conferences, and even our literature. But I thank you, Brad, for what you're doing.
Mm. God bless you, Merle. Thank
you. Thank
you.
And any time we can humanize those babies is a step in the right direction. So thank you for offering that.
Lawrence, Michigan, we have Zoltan calling. You're on the air.
Yes. For many years, I was silent, and then the Lord pressed on me that I needed to speak up. He gave me a good voice to speak and a clear brain. And one of the things that I have is I understand I have a command to speak for those who can't speak for themselves, and that's directly the unborn. The other thing was, I wasn't involved in abortion, and so I just kind of stayed in my own lane. But the fact of the matter is, and again, the Lord impressed on me, there's sins of commission and sins of omission. I didn't use my voice and my gifts in a way to speak against this, which I need to. So there's sins of omission and commission, and I was not blameless. I was not blameless. In fact, I was tacitly approving of it because I didn't speak out. So people out there who think they want to be tolerant and just sit on the sidelines, the good Lord looks at you and doesn't say, hey, you're blameless, because you're actually a participant. Yeah. You're a participant in your silence. You're participating. And that's all I had to say. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. You said a lot there, Zoltan. And Brad, again, he's encouraging listeners to really to break that silence.
Well, yes, and to know that you guys are in the majority. Polling after polling shows that when we break down abortion and let people know what's going on, 71% generally feel abortion should not be legal past the first 3 months. 80% believe late-term abortion should not be legal, the legislation that's involving the Dobbs case. So, yes, you are in the majority, so express your opinion, share it with others, and let them know that they're not alone either in their opinion.
Let's go to Robert in Gaithersburg, Maryland. You're on the air, Robert.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for mentioning Maryland. We had a rocky legislature this year with these bills, as you say, the bill about allowing anyone who can do an abortion, doesn't have to be a doctor, the infanticide bill. Maryland's one of three states that don't require any reporting of abortions, and we've had late-term abortions here for the last decade that are admittedly by the abortionist up to 35 weeks of pregnancy. So please pray for Maryland.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert, and a good point. And be praying for states like this that have just gone so rogue in this regard and barbaric. And friends, be praying for the Supreme Court justices as well. They're under a great deal of pressure. This is very much a spiritual battle that's going on in our nation right now, but be praying for them as that decision is to be released likely in the month of June and likely late June. George is calling from West Virginia. George, you're on the air.
Yes, as a pro-life advocate, I think we give the Supreme Court too much credibility in these decisions because we have a three-check system. I like to know why the executive and legislative branches aren't involved in these decisions, because the Supreme Court, as you know, gives us an opinion, and it can be checked and balanced by our other branches, but they never seem to do that. And so if they would do that, and if we would vote people in our executive and Congress in the right capacity, they could do things for us. We blame the Supreme Court for decisions, but we're part of that problem because we don't check and balance their decisions.
Thank you, George,
Thank you for that.
Appreciate that. And, Brad, that ballot box is so important.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. I tell people I wouldn't vote a dog catcher into office unless I knew he or she was pro-life. And the reason for that is politicians work their way up the ladder of success in politics. Look how fast Barack Obama jettisoned to president of the United States. He went from community organizer to state senator to U.S. senator to president. So if he could have been stopped down at the lower rung, we would have been spared a lot of dead babies as a result of his pro-abortion agenda.
Tucson, Arizona. Beth, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for that number. I've already called Washington, D.C.
Great.
And left a good message, very polite.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself am involved with pro-life here in Tucson. And I'm a counselor because my children are part of that number. So thank you for fighting.
God bless you, Beth.
Amen.
Thank you for your voice now, standing up. And Brad, a lot of pain there.
It is, and your pain cannot be denied. And our hearts go out to you, and share your pain with others. Let them know, especially young women who may be contemplating abortion. Boy, you are uniquely qualified to sit opposite a young woman contemplating abortion in a pregnancy care center, and you can tell her you've been there, and it's not the place to go.
Our final call from Milwaukee. Fred, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about David and Bathsheba's baby, that the baby died and David said he would go to the baby and the baby wouldn't come to him. So all babies end up going to heaven, because it's not like the Roman Catholic Church talks about a limbo. They haven't done nothing, so they didn't know sin and they go to be with the Lord. And that my concern is for on the picket lines for the people on the street that don't know the gospel, when you ask them, what is the gospel?
Yeah, and Fred, that's important indeed, is to share the gospel with others and to have that heart change toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the call. We are out of time. Brad Mattis is with us here on the broadcast today. Again, that medical examiner office number in D.C., 202-698-9000. Brad Mattis with us. Facesofroe.com is the website. Order your precious feet pin there. Find out ways that you can get involved in this matter of standing up for life. And, Brad, thank you for putting all of this together and really bringing forth the consciousness of this nation.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for helping us get the word out.
Great. Brad Mattis with us. Again, the website, facesofroe.com. lifeissues.org, another site for them as well. God bless you, friends. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.